It's time for Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, talking everything tourism and exploring all that the Golden Heart City has to offer for visitors and residents alike. Brought to you by Explore Fairbanks, located in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. And now, here's the crew from Explore Fairbanks.
And good afternoon, KFAR listeners. Welcome to another edition of the Explore Fairbanks radio show. Scott McRae with Explore Fairbanks here in the studio, along with my co-host, also from Explore Fairbanks, Mr. Bill Wright. Bill, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Scott. Great to be here, and we're excited with our guests we have today.
We are excited. So for first-time listeners, this is a brand-new endeavor that Explore Fairbanks launched beginning in July, our weekly radio show, and the purpose behind the show is to introduce all that the local tourism industry has to offer to Fairbanks residents, communicating the importance of the visitor industry, opportunities to hear from some of the amazing people who work in the industry, the stories that they have to tell, and so forth. And so for today, we have, I'm very excited, we have first time on the Explore Fairbanks radio show, not the first time in the KFAR studio.
It's true.
Tanya Klukas, the executive director of the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center. Tanya, you're usually in here, I believe, talking about food.
I am. You know, KFAR has been, just like the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center, a great resource. It's been around a lot longer than Morris Thompson. But yeah, I've been cooking with a couple of friends, including current Mayor Prues, for years, and he's got a food show. So we come in and we talk about what we've been cooking for the last few weeks.
Great. And I don't think we're going to be talking about food today, though if we do run out of things to discuss as we close up, maybe we can get into recipe conversations and so forth. But I think we have enough ground to cover today. So, Tanya, you're the executive director of the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center, which is the home to Explore Fairbanks. Been in the position now about a year and a half?
A year and 2.5 weeks.
A year and 2.5 weeks. Not that you're keeping track there of the specific time there. So I'm sure you get, and Bill and I probably run into this too sometimes. You know, we're talking to friends, locals here in Fairbanks. We say we work in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center, and people say, oh, where is that? What does that building do? So let's kind of start off. Let's do a little Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center 101, as we'll call it. Where is the building located, and what does it do?
Yeah, we are right on the edge of downtown next to the Chena River and the Wendell Street Bridge. So if you're headed down, say, over by the courthouse or coming across Wendell Street Bridge, we are tucked right in between the street. If you've ever visited the Midnight Mine, we are the giant parking lot on the other side of the Midnight Mine. We don't offer overnight parking, but I have been there late at night to check on stuff in the building and seen that sometimes we get used for some overflow parking by the folks over at the mine who are good neighbors.
It's a good community partnership for certain.
Yeah. No, the Morris Thompson Center, it's been pretty fun. I took the position just over a year ago, just last summer. And when I took the job, about half my social group said, I love that building. It's beautiful. There's so many neat things. And about half my social group said, I've actually never set foot in there. So we're trying to work on fixing that. We've got exhibits that show actually fairly accurately. It's one of those things, you know, when you watch TV shows about Alaska and you see what it's presented as and it just makes you cringe. Our exhibits are actually fairly well done and are really evocative of the ways that we live our life here in the interior of Alaska. And then we also have some other great community assets physically for the building, which is one of the things that I focus on, where we have a small theater that is offering movies every day from the Alaska Public Lands Information Center and sometimes offers programs from some of our other partners, such as Tanana Chiefs Conference, and has been used by the Literacy Council for their GED student graduation. We have a classroom that is used for a variety of things that you would expect a classroom to be used for. I mean, it seems self-evident. Whether it's continuing education, we have a group of Order of the Arrow Boy Scouts coming in this weekend, and they're going to be going through some programming that we're developing, even though it's only a couple days away, but we're still developing it for that group. And in the upstairs, we have a conference room space, and all of these are available to the community depending on how your relationship is, either at charge, or if you have an affiliation with some of our fabulous building partners, then you might be able to use it because it's what they get through their lease fees for being in the building. And our partners are Explore Fairbanks, these fine folks here in the room with me.
That's us.
Yep. The Alaska Public Lands Information Center, which is a partnership with the National Park Service and a variety of other state and federal agencies. And then we have Tanana Chiefs Conference and Dinakanaga, which is an elders program. And we have Alaska Geographic working through the National Park Service with Aplik with a little gift shop. And Dinakanaga has a gift shop as well.
That's right. And it is really just, it's an amazing building to be able to work in. I think one of the things we really want to communicate is people might think there's that visitor center component and say, well, no, this is just for visitors who are coming to Fairbanks. It really is a community center. There's something available there in some fashion for residents all across Interior Alaska.
Yeah, Aplik is great for local residents. If you are still the sort of person who enjoys things like type 2 fun, where, you know, you might look back on it after you did it and think that was fun, going out into the backcountry, the folks at Aplik will do a backcountry review, what they know from recent trip excursions. You can check out a bear barrel, depending on where you're going.
Yes, you can.
Keep your food and everything else safe from some of our more furry neighbors. I have to admit, long before I took this job, the Explore Fairbanks Visitor Services folks downstairs go through every event that they can find in every venue around town and put it on a calendar. And so if you're kind of bored and you're not sure what you want to do, but you want to do something, I think we've all kind of had that, you know, it's like, I want to do something, but I don't know what I want to do. The Explore Fairbanks calendar is a really great resource for a local person to go and see what's going on, to see if there's someplace you want to go or something you want to do.
Absolutely.
Long before I took this job.
Yeah. And that's on the ExploreFairbanks.com website. It's a very, probably the most comprehensive list of events that you can find in Fairbanks.
Oh, it's great.
Always like to say, if people say, oh, there's nothing to do in Fairbanks, they're simply not looking, because every weekend, every evening, there's some sort of activity, event that's being offered for the community throughout the entire year.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful, and it's kind of fun with, it's a beautiful facility, and we're coming up on 15 years of being open.
Amazing.
And in much of the same group of people who say they, like, have never been there or they love it, when you say, like, yeah, we're coming up on 15 years of being open, and we've got some fun plans for things we'd like to do, is like we roll into 20 years over the next 5 years, just achieving milestones along the way. And it's just been fabulously well maintained. It's just, it's a really interesting architectural building. And I like to joke about how we also have fabulous parking.
We do.
Yeah. But being a visitor center, we are able to accommodate motor coaches from the different tour agencies, RVs for people who are independent travelers, or they rented one for going around. So that's great. And honestly, it's like, if you're a local and you got like your big old truck and you get tired of, you know, trying to figure out where you're going to squeeze it in, if you come by, stop and hang out and visit us, you're not going to have to worry about where to park your truck. We get field trips from schools through the school year. So same sort of thing. We can like accommodate the school buses.
That's always, I always love towards the end of the school year when field trip season is in full gear. There's just so many student groups coming through there throughout the day, and the building is just filled with the sounds of their voices. And they love being there. It's a great place for all ages to see, from the exhibits, which are great for all ages, to the information you talked about that the Public Lands Information Center has. It's just, yeah, it's a great place for the entire community of all ages.
It really, really
is. And it's free admission.
It is. It's totally free to come in.
The exterior is pretty, besides parking, there's some amazing grounds and landscaping all times of year, but especially now, a garden, right?
Out by the Gould Cabin, which is one of the original cabins from early days of Fairbanks as a gold mining community. There is a garden that has been planted there. Our head of our facility maintenance is a master gardener, and he has planned landscaping. We have gorgeous flowers and a garden that is there, and the foods that are harvested from the garden, we donate over to Breadline for Stone Soup Cafe for them to be able to provide their meals, because you know, it's a good part of being a partner in the community. And so it's not just our partners within the building that we try to focus on, but we want to focus on being a good community member and working with the other organizations that care about Fairbanks and are trying to look after everyone.
And of course, the grounds are home to one of the most photogenic landmarks probably in Fairbanks, and that's the Antler Arch.
Indeed. Yes. Yeah, and our camera system, you can log into the Morris Thompson Center website, which is just about to launch a new and revamped version, but we've got an Antler Arch cam there, and it's fun to go up. From my window, I can't quite see it, but I know other people can from their places in the building, and you can see people getting married a couple times a week. It's pretty neat. You go out there, and you're looking, like, what's going on? And you're like, oh, somebody's getting married. It's like, and I've been a wedding commissioner, never at the Antler Arch. I need to put that on my list. But yeah, I've been a wedding commissioner like five times.
Oh, have you?
It's like, yeah,
it's on my list. And of course, if we could talk about the building, let's talk about the namesake behind the building, Morris Thompson. Koyukuk and Athabascan, who was born and raised in Tanana, very prominent Alaska businessman back in the day. He was the youngest commissioner of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, had a cabinet position back with Governor Hickel, was the head of Doyon. But despite all this, he always described himself as just another boy from Tanana. And part of what his philosophy for Morris Thompson, whether it be at a fish camp or in Washington, D.C., he was all about collaboration. He was all about bringing people together, all about bridging cultures. And that's the building, exactly. That's exactly what the building represents. It is meant to signify. So you couldn't ask for a better person to have that building named after.
Oh, no, you're absolutely. I'm 100% agreeing with you from over here. And as the head of the Morris Thompson Center, I report to a board of directors that they run the nonprofit that actually owns the building. The building is its own independent entity. There's a lot of confusion back and forth about who has the oversight and who owns the building. The building is actually owned by the nonprofit that is the Morris Thompson Center. And one of the requirements is to have a family member of Morris Thompson Center be on the board.
Right.
Because, I mean, to me, it totally makes sense. If you're going to put somebody's name on a building, you know, you should have somebody around who can make sure that what's happening around there is in line with what that person stood for. And just like Scott said, Morris Thompson was all about bringing people together, making things happen, promoting for the betterment and welfare of the people of the interior and across Alaska. And it's been really fun. I've been there just over a year, so I've made it through one cycle. And it's just been really great getting to know my different board members and just having folks come through who knew Morris Thompson and will tell stories about him. It's been wonderful.
It is great. And we'll talk, you know, after the break here, kind of more about the cultural component of what the Morris Thompson Cultural Visitor has from the Dinakanaga program, the Tanana Chiefs Conference cultural program, and so forth. And as you mentioned, Explore Fairbanks, we're housed there. And probably the most important component of our representation there is running the visitor services side. That we see this time of year, we're seeing upwards to 600, 700 people who are coming through the doors there on a daily basis in the summertime. And part of what we do is we're there to answer all of their questions that they have pertaining to their time here in Fairbanks. So the information that's there, the brochures on the different attractions, the maps and so forth, great resource for visitors, but also for residents who might have visiting friends and relatives coming throughout the summer. If you're looking for things for them to do while they're here, so they're not just on your couch the entire time, come by the Morris Thompson Center. We have probably some of the best visitor information specialists you will find in Alaska who can answer any and all questions pertaining what to see and do while they're here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And sometimes I'm actually allowed to talk to the public in the building when I'm downstairs.
They don't let me talk to them.
It's probably safer that way. And in the exhibits, there's the different dioramas, and they focus on the different times of the year. So when you enter into the first part of the exhibits in the main entrance, the painting that's there is actually a hill out. You're looking off of a hill out over the Tanana River in the Tanana Flats, where Morris Thompson grew up. And it's deliberate, and so in the last 2 weeks or so, I was talking with a couple from California. And they were asking some questions. And so I was there and I was like, well, you know, actually, it's like on purpose. And this is where Morris Thompson himself actually grew up, here outside of town. And anybody local who's been out moose hunting might recognize the view. You know?
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, Tanya, then we'll continue the conversation right after the break.
All right. Was trying to watch for your, like,
We will continue to explore Fairbanks right after this short message from our sponsors.
Located just 25 miles from town, Borealis Base Camp offers an experience unlike any other for locals and visitors alike. Witness the awe-inspiring northern lights from the comfort of your own private glass-roofed igloo. Embrace the winter wonderland with exciting outdoor adventures from dog sled rides to snow machining, ice fishing, and more. Indulge yourself in the finest dining experience Interior Alaska has to offer in Latitude 65 Restaurant, showcasing Alaska seafood and locally sourced fresh ingredients. They offer local discounts for the entire season. For more information, visit BorealisBaseCamp.net. Borealis Base Camp, proud to be a member of the Golden Heart City.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything on 50-50 Fridays? Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it, sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m. And Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archive section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now back to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio.
And welcome back to the Explore Fairbanks radio show. Scott McRae with Explore Fairbanks here in the studio along with co-host Bill Wright. And a big thank you. You heard the spot there for Borealis Base Camp. They were the sponsor of this month's program. Each month we have a different tourism industry business that's providing the sponsorship for this program. And Bill, it's hard to believe. It's August 12th.
That's right.
What happens in 9 days?
Aurora season kicks off.
That's always great having Borealis Base Camp. Definitely an amazing location to see the Northern Lights. But that's right. We are getting ready in the local visitor industry to slowly move out of the midnight sun season and into the aurora season, which goes August 21st. Through April 21st, that's kind of the dates that we kind of set to give visitors a good planning window of when is the best time to come to Fairbanks to see the Northern Lights. Mm-hmm. We always like to joke that, yes, they could possibly see them on August 20th. We don't have a switch that we turn on to make those lights suddenly appear on August 21st. But, Bill, I believe now next week's show will be you and our colleague Casey Gill. We'll be talking more about the aurora season and the work that Explore Fairbanks has done to really promote Fairbanks and build up our reputation as being one of the best places on Earth to see the Northern Lights.
Right, and if the uptick in visitors for this time of year is any indication, our work is definitely paying off.
It is, yeah.
Seeing more and more people out there.
Yeah, so looking forward to more conversation on that. And August 21st, watch up in the sky. We'll get those lights turned on. But that's a future conversation. We have with us in the studio, Tanya Klukas, Executive Director of the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitors Center. Tanya, let's kind of talk a little more about that cultural component of the building, because I think it is so critical to what the mission is behind the building, what it represents, the partners who are there. And for me, I think one of the programs that I really enjoy working with all of our partners within that beautiful building, Dinakanaga is an amazing program. Talk a little bit about Dinakanaga and some of the programs that they put as it pertains to working with Alaska's Native Elders.
Oh, yeah. Well, you just stole my first line there, Scott. Anyway, for anybody who's unfamiliar with Dinakanaga, Dinakanaga is a local nonprofit whose focus and community they serve are Alaska Native Elders, and they have offices in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitors Center. And they're just really... They're a really great group to work with. They have a gift shop. They provide cultural programs for the local community. They have elders teaching elders. The gift shop that's in there is a collaboration between Tanana Chiefs Conference and Dinakanaga, and it is 100% locally, regionally made items for sale. I mean, it's a gift shop. So I have to be careful, especially when it's getting close to payday, that I don't swing by there. They're, like, I have a soft spot for birch baskets and for clever earrings. So I will admit, like, I have a birch basket on my desk that's full of binder clips, and I have a really cute pair of earrings that one side is a little small piece of pilot bread, and the other side is a little small piece of pilot bread missing a bite. Because, I mean, it's like that's classic Alaskan, no matter which part of the state you live in, is you've probably eaten pilot bread with some peanut butter or some smoked salmon, or just choking it down kind of dry with a cup of tea, you know, depending on when and where you're at. But the Dinakanaga gift shop is incredible. It's staffed by, usually during the summer, there is somebody through Youth Employment Services, and they are, it's a young person who is really great talking with our visitors about culture from a younger person's perspective and how they're living it. And then the other staff within Dinakanaga. Recently, we were lucky enough to be able to host Dinakanaga's Culture Camp, which was an elders teaching elders event that took place over the course of a week. And it was in Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center and on our outside grounds and in Griffin Park, which is it Griffin Park?
Anyway,
all I can think of is, like, suddenly I'm like, oh, am I, like, talking about where the Gold Panners play? But anyway.
But there are no Griffins,
and that's Groudon Field, so never mind. Anyway. So Griffin Park, we had out there, so there were elders showing how to traditionally prepare a moose hide, and they were out there all week long scraping it and then smoking it. We had people making snowshoes out there, bending the wood and doing the weaving to get that netting so that you could stay out with a traditional, you know, like the old school make them here with what you have on hand snowshoes and not the fancy lightweight ones that they make these days. But the difficult ones that I grew up learning how to snowshoe using. Inside we had drumming and there were some traditional foods preparation. There was a whole bit on storytelling that happened in the conference room upstairs.
I had a chance to listen in on some of that. It was remarkable. Yeah.
Yes.
They were doing canoe making. They were making a canoe too.
The canoe making was very cool. And then this week they have ongoing programs through the year. So yesterday, this is going to be one of those. Is today Wednesday or
It's Saturday.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know what day of the week it is.
Three days ago.
Yeah. Anyway, they had Dinakanaga had an event in our theater that I sometimes miss them, even though I'm in the building, because I've got a lot going on with traditional hunting information.
Oh, okay.
And then they record these, though, so that it was for field dressing. And what skills you need. Moose season's coming up here, you know, in a few weeks.
Yes,
and
it is.
So, you know, you need to be ready for it. It's a traditional activity that we engage in here in Alaska. And so they had an elder talking about field dressing and how they do it. And it will be up on our YouTube channel here in a few days. So if you weren't able to attend in the theater in person, you can still go ahead and pull it up on YouTube and watch it. And our channel is really easy to find if you just do on YouTube and at MTCVCAK. We're right there. We try to make it easy for you to find us, whether you're here in town or online.
Yeah. And going back to the gift shop there, I mean, if someone is looking for, I want to purchase truly authentic, 100% made in Alaska.
Yes.
You're not going to find a better place to purchase those items than there at that Dinakanaga gift shop. So
it's true.
A great place to bring friends and relatives when they're in town to come by there. If there's interest in learning about our amazing, rich, you know, Native culture, that's probably one of the best places in town to be able to come and get a chance to experience that in a very authentic manner.
Very, very authentic. And depending on who's working in there, you can probably talk to somebody who, if they weren't one of the people that worked on what's being sold, they can tell you exactly how it was made, because it's the sort of crafts that they engage in themselves. There are slippers and all kinds of earrings and... I know I always focus on the birch baskets because
you like the birch baskets.
I love the birch baskets.
And that is, and that's, you know, as we, you know, for us, you know, Explore Fairbanks, you know, as the ones who are the storytellers to promote and sell Fairbanks as a destination to people around the world, talking about our native cultures, it's an important part of that message. It's, we want people to realize who are coming here, there were people that lived in these lands hundreds of years before we did, and any chance there are for visitors to be able to experience that, learn about that culture, learn about the stories, it's just, it's a great part of the overall, I think, Alaskan experience.
Oh,
it's not
is.
Just about yeah. Mother Nature. It's about the human nature.
Right. It's like if you went to France, you know, you would definitely do everything you could to learn all about French culture. You know, whether you're like engaging in cafe culture on a street or you go to the Louvre to see art. So it's the same sort of thing where even though we're not a museum per se for Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitors Center, we have exhibits. We make an effort to share culture of all stripes from here in the interior. And Kananaugh's Conference in Dinakinaga being one of our partners, they are there and they are just wonderful with sharing all the different cultural offerings.
Absolutely. And going back to the exhibits, kind of briefly touched upon this, you know, in the beginning, mentioned we're not a museum, which we're not, but the exhibits do have kind of a museum type of feel to it. So I walk through the exhibits there. So what you're mentioning there, the idea behind the exhibits, and maybe I'm stealing your words here, and you won't have to say anything, but it's to introduce visitors to Fairbanks of what it's like to live, work, and play here. So it touches upon nature. It touches upon industry, the economy. And it's just done in a very, once again, in a very authentic, this is who we are type of story. Is that how you would describe it?
That was very well done. One didn't know. I think you were a communications
professional.
I know,
professional. Yeah. You think we've known each other for 30 years.
Yeah. So when you first come into the exhibits at the Morris Thompson Center, it's set up around the seasons mostly. So when you enter, it's summertime. And there is a lovely diorama with some fireweed. There's some animals. There's some motion detecting sensors that you don't see, but when you first come in, and so you'll get to hear bird sounds and animal sounds that were collected around the region when this was being built by the dioramists. And then as you walk through, you will go through a smokehouse that was actually donated by a member of Morris Thompson's family for use in the building. I grew up smoking fish, and that thing is huge in comparison to the one that my family had, but you know, to each their own. And if you've got a large family and you need a huge amount of fish, okay. But I'm just always like, I walk through that thing and I'm like, this is definitely the smokehouse, but wow, this thing is big.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. And then as you go through the smokehouse, you come out into autumn and you come to a moose hunting camp, which yet again is authentic to how we live here regionally here in the interior. And there's some more animals there. So you get some of the natural history interpretation and examples of how we live. And on the other side of that, there's, as Scott mentioned, some exhibits about the role of mining and the oil industry here in the interior and what they have contributed as far as bringing people in, the development of industry and things in a modern era, whether it was the initial gold rush through what we have going on with Usabelli and the coal mine. And the, you know, modern era gold mines, the pipeline that came through. And then you work your way through to Winter. The Winter is an actual BLM cabin that was reassembled.
Yep.
In the exhibit area, there's a moose back there. One of my favorite things is it has a freezer that has the note saying, don't forget to plug your freezer back in. And I think we've all lived with that.
Yep, and come April, it's always.
Yeah, it is. And then as you leave Winter, you just have this kind of quick walk through spring, which is pretty, I mean, honestly, considering how our springs work here, it was pretty cleverly
very
done.
Apropos.
It's very done, very quick. Yeah. But it is. It's a great representation of all the seasons in Fairbanks, all that we have to offer. Anyone who's lived here in Fairbanks, hasn't been there, you got to come see it because you will definitely feel like, this is my home here. And that's what we want people to know about the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitors Center. This is a center for the entire community. Encourage people to come by anytime to see that we have to offer.
Yeah, and once you get through the exhibits with the seasons, then we keep coming back to because it is a cultural center. So then we have some more displays on historical indigenous culture, and there's a nook that is set aside for people being able to experience and learn about the different regional indigenous languages we have, which is a great support from Doyon. And then you kind of work your way back out into the gateway.
Yeah. Well, people need to come by and see us. Location
yes,
again?
They do. We are technically at 101 Dunkel Street, but myself, I just like to tell people we're the giant parking lot right next to the Midnight Mine.
Right next to Midnight Mine. All right. Well, thank you very much, Tanya. Appreciate you coming in here. That wraps us up for this episode. Be sure to tune in next week. Thank you for tuning in.
You have been listening to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past shows, simply log on to our website and click on the archives page. Explore Fairbanks has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.